Greetings to all. Today it's Tuesday, May 5th, and we're here to spend a little time walking with Jesus today. Walking through the Gospel of Mark in the month of May. That's right, it's Mark in May. And today we move on, we'll finish chapter 3 and move on into chapter 4, and really want to focus today. It's May 5th, and it's time for us to start feeling a little rhythm to this. Now, I've always felt in the early chapters of Mark, it's hard to find some rhythm. There's so much going on and jumping all around from one thing to another, and all these healings and these calling of the disciples, and there's just a whole lot of small little things lined up in a row that are going on. But today, I think, is a transition period. We're going to finish chapter 3 and hear about who Jesus' family is, and then we'll go into the parables. And some of the parables you'll be familiar with, including one of the most famous parables there is in the Gospels, the parable of the sower, when Jesus explains the parable at length. And then when we're done today, we'll have the reading from Jesus calling. I'll move that to the back end of the recording and feel like that's a better way to send off the readers and listeners than at the beginning. But right now, let's do something. Let's pause right here and right now. This is the time to settle in and be still. And follow our breath. And pray that the Holy Spirit come and consume us with its power. And that indeed the Holy Spirit be our ears as we listen to this gospel written by John Mark for the purposes of teaching us who Jesus is in our own personal lives. The Holy Spirit gives us that power to be there in the present, to be with Jesus, to be walking with Him, to be witness to all these things that have been recorded in this gospel. Chapter 3, verse 31. Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." Chapter 4. Again he began to teach beside the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the sea and sat there, while the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. He began to teach them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into the good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and 100-fold. And he said, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." when he was alone, those who were around him, along with the 12, asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look, but not perceive, and may indeed listen, but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy. But they have no root and endure only for a while. Then, when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are those sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones sown on the good soil. They hear the word, and they accept it, and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. He said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under the bushel basket or under the bed and not on the lampstand? For there is nothing hidden except to be disclosed, nor is anything secret except to come to light. Let anyone with ears to hear listen." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. The measure you give will be the measure you get, and still more will be given you. For to those who have more, more will be given. And to them who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away." He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, and then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. And thus we'll end our reading for today, the end of chapter 3 and the majority of chapter 4. And it just feels good, doesn't it, to kind of be able to just, after walking with Jesus and witnessing all the healings, to be able to sit with him and listen to him teach us. Amen. So just real quick to go back a little bit, the end of chapter 3 is this lesson about who his family is. he has a few of these lessons in the Gospels about who his family really is and what to do when you're following Jesus, not go back to your family and leave your family behind. And these are often read as kind of negative words against families. But indeed, that's not it at all. We read that into it. Let's just take Jesus for what he says. Jesus has come to earth. He has started a new ministry. And he finds a way, with his mother and brothers being outside, to teach us, whoever does the will of God is my family. He's creating a new kind of family on earth, a family of believers, a family of faith, a family of witnesses, a family of disciples, no matter what gender, no matter what color, no matter what language, no matter what background, no matter what anything else. If you're part of the body of Christ, you're family now, all one family. He's creating a new kind of family. Doesn't necessarily mean you leave your old family, but it means you now belong to a higher family. Can I even say a holy family? So that's the lesson at the end of chapter 3. And then, of course, in chapter 4, the majority of it is this wonderful parable of the sower, which I think a lot of people understand because Jesus takes the time to explain it in detail, teaching not only the parable itself, but teaching us how to listen to him teach. For this will be his teaching style. He will be using parables throughout the gospel. And of course, Mark emphasizes that Jesus literally says he kept on teaching always in parables. So you can imagine here in the parable of the sower, this is Jesus here. You know, whenever you're listening to parables or stories of Jesus, it's always good to cast yourself in different roles and to put Jesus or God in different roles and to see how the meaning can change. For instance, we put Jesus in the role of the sower and we find out what his life is like as he walks through the Holy Land sowing the word in the hearts of people. The three of the four different paths that it lands on are not good outcomes, are they? But the fourth one is. And the fourth one is what counts. Because indeed, when the seed grows into the fourth path, the good path, it not only just bears fruit, but it makes up for all the other seed that was sown on other paths. The seeds that didn't bear fruit, because this seed will bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold and be even more powerful, get this, than if every seed that he threw had landed and grown into fruit. But because this seed on this soil is so powerful, it exceeds what otherwise would have been his crop and his harvest. It exceeds it by 30, 60, and 100-fold. And that is how the gospel becomes such an amazing, powerful force in the world. Because when it does stick, and when it does grow, and when it does come to bear fruit, it's more powerful than just any one person, any one bush or tree, right? It's the most powerful thing in the world. It multiplies in its power 30, 60, and 100-fold. So now let's flip the role for this parable. And now the sower is you. And your walk with Jesus in the 21st century and being a seed sower, being one who just throws seeds and tries to plant seeds in people's lives. And you know how frustrating that can be, because it's true. Three of the four hearts that you land on, that seed will not stick and will not bear fruit, at least that you'll know of. But that fourth one, and you never know when you're going to get it. You never know who it might be. But when you sow the seed to that fourth heart, that good soil, and then maybe immediately, maybe over weeks in your sight, in witness, or maybe in ways you will never see or know about, that seed will bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And that is the way the power of the gospel increases all across the world. Because when it does bear fruit, it's a mighty, mighty power. And in the rest of chapter 4, Mark goes on. He gives us the quick little story of the lamp under the bushel basket. He's not only saying we shouldn't put our light under a bushel basket. But this little version of the story is a little different, that all things will come to light. All things will be known. And you can't hide your lamp under a bushel basket because, as he says, all things will be made known. And then he teaches us the growing seed. In fact, it's so parallel to the parable of the sower that we never know how seeds grow. And of course, sometimes when we're sowing seed, right, spreading the word, teaching or preaching, we kind of want to determine how that seed's going to grow in the lives of the people who are hearing us or witnessing to us or in our class. And that's not in our hands at all. Those seeds grow because of something God and only God does. That's how seeds grow. There's nothing that we humans can do except toss the seed, and the rest is in God's hands. And then every now and then we actually get to see, don't we, when the grain is ripe and we see the harvest. But that's all due to God's work. We're just seed sowers in the big scheme of things. And keeping with the theme, then we go on to the parable of the mustard seed. And I love this little parable. I speak a lot about parables of the kingdom of God. And this one in particular tells me that no matter how little my seed may be that day, no matter how inferior or weak I may feel, that little seed of faith, that little seed of the kingdom of God, could end up meaning the world of difference for someone else or for others. It might be the smallest seed in the basket, but it might turn into the wonderful, greatest bush ever that the birds can come and rest in and find their home, find shade and rest. And again, that means we always keep sowing. And the littlest bit of faith, the littlest bit, can turn into something mighty in God's hands. And then we're reminded in verse 33 and 34 that Jesus continues to teach and continues to tell parables and continues to take time with his disciples in private and give them the graduate level course. Amen. And that was a good walk with Jesus, wasn't it? A little rainy day. Do you ever imagine Jesus and the disciples walking in the rain? You know, it's not something we often picture, but I'm sure they did it many, many times, including today in our hearts. Here's some closing words for you. Jesus wants you to know something. He doesn't want you to miss it. He says this: come to me for all that you need. Come into my presence with thanksgiving, for thankfulness opens the door to my treasures. When you are thankful, you affirm the central truth that I am good. I am light in whom there is no darkness at all. The assurance that I am entirely good meets your basic need for security. Your life is not subject to the whims of a sin-stained deity. Relax in the knowledge that the one who controls your life is totally trustworthy. Come to me with confident expectation. There is nothing you need that I cannot provide. In unconditional love, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, with the tomorrow, when you receive the email for this reading, there'll also be a Zoom link for our Wednesday night class. I'm not an expert at Zoom, but when I've done this before, all I merely do is when the time comes for the meeting, I find that email and I click on that link and it takes me into the meeting. So you'll probably, when you get in, you'll probably have to unmute your mic if you want. If you're not speaking or if you have noise in the background, keep that mic muted because we'll probably have a few people on the call and you'll catch on to it as we go. But feel free to bring any questions, comments, suggestions. And we'll just have a great little gathering around Jesus and talk about life and his word. All right. Have a blessed day and go outside and get a little baptism. Amen. Amen.